Sylvie stirs uneasily in her sleep. Hearing a noise next door, she thinks it must be Julien working late, trying hard not to wake her, though he knows she can sleep through anything. "The sleep of the just," he says. "Sherry?" she calls out. Coco barks, and she realizes, of course, it can't be Julien. It must be the Americans. Though her body wakes into the present, it takes her mind a few moments longer to absorb the shock of knowing that she will never hear Julien's voice again. So the Americans are here, finally, much later than expected. A good thing she had left the key downstairs with Anna Carvalho. The concierge is agog with curiosity about them. Sylvie herself plans to stop by in the morning, see that they're properly settled in. Not too early, though. They must be tired after the long flight from Florida. How long did Fabienne say it was? 9 hours? 10? It never seemed to bother her friend, but then Fabienne was a force of nature. She had pushed Sylvie to divide the large apartment in two, and before the paint was even dry, she had located Sylvie's first renters, a couple of professors from her college. With Fabienne, nothing is moderato. Everything always presto, prestissimo. At one time, Sylvie would have panicked at the prospect of dealing with strangers. But now her shyness seems the relic of a vanished self. When she was a child, her parents often acted surprised that they had produced someone with her shrinking temperament. And Fabienne said if schoolgirls had sobriquets like kings, she would be Sylvie la Timide. The nickname had stuck to her through school, but when she mentioned it to Julien, he smiled and said that on the contrary, to him she was Sylvie, cœur de lion. Sighing deeply, Sylvie turns over in bed. Seeing her unconcerned about the intruders, Coco tucks his head down into his paws. Sylvie has a harder time going back to sleep and wishes now she hadn't thrown away the pills that brought her respite from the sleepless nights when she paced the apartment till dawn. During the Nuit Blanche of the past winter, she had considered visiting Fabienne in America, had even booked a ticket at her urging. But in the end, she had backed out because she couldn't bear to leave Julien behind. Not so lion-hearted after all.
"Yes, you are,"
Julien insists, encouraging even in death. For so long she had felt as if the brightly lit banquet of life was being carried on behind closed doors, and she was entitled only to crumbs from the feast, not to a place at the table. She had felt it again at the house on Rue de Bièvre, when Isabelle had seated her next to Julien. Then one day Isabelle's husband had risen from that table because of her. Julien's love had turned her life into a vista of open doorways, like the Grand Enfilade at the neighboring Hôtel de Lausanne. Sylvie could not remember what her life had been before him, nor imagine what it would be after. But she no longer has to imagine it. She lives every day with his absence. Even the smallest thing is a painful reminder that she will never see him again. A few days ago, when she and Anna Carvalho were moving Julien's desk from his study, they jostled open a secret drawer, and a folder fell out to the floor. The concierge was beside herself with excitement about the discovery, but the shock of it hit Sylvie like a blow. She could not explain why she felt there was something fateful about it, though it looked no different from the stacks of such folders with his case notes filed away at Maison Chenizot. But when she opened it, she found a checkbook from an unknown bank and a sealed envelope with the initial M. Without a word, Sylvie quietly replaced the folder in the desk. Opening the envelope or going through the checkbook feels like a trespass, something forbidden, as if Julien has sealed off part of the life they inhabited together and left her forlorn outside.